AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Altosid IGR, an easy-to-use feed-through IGR to control horn fly populations. Altosid IGR delivers consistent results that show.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are live at the World Pork Expo down in Des Moines. Thank you to Merck Animal Health for making our broadcast from the World Pork Expo possible. We are trying to track down Glenn Tonser. He ought to be coming around here any second. And when he does, we'll get him on here. It's that way down here at Expo, Davis.
Yeah.
You run into people and it's hard to not stop and have a conversation and spend a little bit of time talking about the issues that matter most to everybody. So, okay, we were talking about it there at the end of the conversation with Greg. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is top of mind is causing some concern in this industry right now is why can't we get retailers to back the retail prices off a bit in an effort to use to spur some additional usage. Mm-hmm. Consumption. The thing about that is it's a short-term fix. And in the current conditions, I'm not going to mind a short-term fix. Not at all. That will help us out. But longer term, what we need to do, and we've talked about this, we used to talk about this with beef prices all the time. What we need to do is move more of that retail dollar further down the chain and get it to the producers. If we can do that and make that happen, that's what really gives us an increase in demand. And that's what we need to see happen. If we can make that happen, Davis, then all of a sudden we're looking at a change situation for the long term. It gives us long term benefit rather than short.
Well, and that would be great. Like you said, you know, let's get something fixed here, maybe initially to start, because the wheels of this sort of thing tend to move a little slow.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So it it is a transition that needs to take place. Okay. Talking about demand with us right now is Dr. Glenn Tonser, K-State University professor of ag economics. How you doing, Glenn? It's good to talk with you.
Doing great, Chip.
All right. Hey, move that mic just a little bit closer to your mouth there. There we go. Okay. You're going to be part of a discussion later, and I don't want to be a spoiler here. We're not going to give away too much info, but do a preview of proving the industry's chops, tackling a 30-year challenge.
Yeah, so the National Pork Board's kicking off a pork loin-focused task force.
Okay.
And per the title of that session, you know, the value of the loin from the mm-hmm. consumer's perspective has changed over time, and there remains room for improvement opportunity there. The actual meat quality from a meat science perspective has improved, and that's been shown in various ways. You know, as the economist in this discussion, there's still room for improvement on positioning that better with consumers, mm-hmm. understanding which consumers value the loin, which ones aren't aware of the quality improvement. You know, frankly, open up the discussion for what could we do different with the loin on different portion size or different value added opportunities and so forth. So we're on the front end of a very big effort to try to ultimately add value to the loin.
Right.
And that's going to be the main discussion we have this afternoon. And in the months ahead, a lot of work with pork board on it.
Glenn, to improve the quality of the loin, doesn't it just take a knife and a little bit of smoke and some heat?
Well, that would be one way, right?
Yeah.
I'm old enough, and most of your listeners probably know I've shared before. I grew up on a hog farm in Northeast Missouri. I'm 42 for those that do their real homework on this. And I can remember when most chops, right, became too tough.
Yep.
in some senses, yep. we've bred out the eating experience, some would argue. I'm getting out of my wheelhouse as an economist a little bit, but that would be the feedback that was very common.
Yeah.
I don't think that assessment is as accurate today
right.
as it was, you know, certainly 20 years ago, but I'm not sure everybody in America is aware of it.
Right.
Because if you had an adverse experience, maybe you haven't come back or come back the way the pork industry would like you to. So there's a marketing component and a raising awareness component.
Absolutely.
You quickly end up with some pork color discussions, yeah. right? Is white good or not is a debatable issue, right? So it's not just cut it different, throw it on the grill and smoke it. You know, it's raising awareness that the chop itself has changed. Yeah. There's lots of menu opportunities in TikTok world and so forth that I don't claim to understand TikTok, but that's relevant for a way to increase demand that wasn't a tool for the industry 20 years ago.
That's outstanding. You know, the discussion has to be had. And no matter how long we've already talked about, cooking pork medium is okay. 145 internal temperature is good to go. There are still home cooks that take it to 165 or even 170, and it loses some of its palatability at that point.
It does. And there's a generational component to what you're talking about. So, you know, I revealed I'm 42, so you can place me, your listeners, where that falls.
Hey, I'm 58. I made the transition to medium, okay?
But you may be the exception is what I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
So all else equal, the older you are, the more likely you are to overcook pork.
Yes.
I mean, that's been shown various ways. The good news of that is each decade we go forward, we have more and more younger generations that are becoming, you know, the higher earners, and maybe we get out of those old habits.
Yes.
But that does take time.
Yep, absolutely. You do an awesome job tracking demand for all the meats, but let's talk about pork in particular. How is pork demand doing?
Yeah, so I will answer with all meats on purpose first.
Okay,
good. Is 10 days ago, I put out a report from the Meat Demand Monitor.
Yep.
Your listeners probably remember Beef and Pork Check All Funded. And the punchline of that was domestic demand for beef, pork, and chicken peaked in 2022. So regardless of the species, demand is lower today, sitting here, you know, early June 23, than it was in middle of 2022. And that applies to pork as well. But the reason I give the answer the way I do is it's not a pork, in my opinion, it's not a pork quality concern. We haven't had a safety concern. We haven't had an issue that's pushed people away from pork. Rather, we've had more a affordability of meat protein as household finances have been squeezed. So a special report I put out 10 days ago on our agmanager.info website, if people want to pull it up, is only 20% of the public says their household finances are better than they were a year ago. 80% say they're either worse or they're the same. So their buying power, and that's just one nugget, there's lots of examples of this, the buying power for most residents has declined, and they've tightened their household budget. And that's hit the meat protein complex. Now, please note, I said meat protein because that's not unique to pork. Pork is definitely in the middle of that.
Yep.
So pork demand has slipped. I'm not hiding that.
Yep.
But the implication for the industry is very different because it's also the case for beef and chicken products. And you don't need to change your product per se to recover from that. You sort of hope that the macro environment improves, macroeconomic environment, that is. So the affordability of your items improves as well.
Yeah. You know, this is the yellow flag that a lot of those that put together outlook for the protein industries have been warning us about for quite some time, and it's here.
It was, and you know, I don't name drop all my colleagues, but most fellow geek economists were concerned when the pandemic started and pleasantly surprised for the subsequent 18, 24 months how strong meat demand was. Well, the reason we were concerned was when household finances either decline or you just get more uncertain and you tighten your wallet, right? You're less willing to let go of dollars, it's hard for demand to go up. We were pleasantly surprised the first couple of years because government, you know, checks sent to the public, you know, people not traveling, had some extra funds and the like, enabled higher meat demand. And that was great for the industry. But that pushed us up to that peak I'm alluding to in 2022. Yeah. And then at some point, you know, the credit card bills had to be paid and we didn't have additional government checks and inflation kicked in, right?
Yes.
I'm 42. I've never lived through 8% inflation until recently.
Yep.
I'm far from alone in this country on that, right?
Right.
Absolutely. So that's what's going on there. But I hope your listeners understand that's not a product concern. If you buy my thesis, it's an affordability issue.
I got you. I got you. Okay. Let's go general here because the general condition of the hog industry is a big conversation here. I feel like the industry is going through some changes. Do you agree with that?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Again, I'm 42. I interject that for a reason to be transparent, but 1998 is on my mind. I was a senior in high school, so I was wet behind the ears for sure then, but I remember the challenges in 98. You know, we had more hogs than we had capacity to harvest at the time,
right.
Led to very cheap hogs and other issues that led to mandatory price reporting and other things that we have today we didn't have before. The profit situation for many hog operations was a challenge before the Prop 12 announcement and the added uncertainty that's getting talked about a lot here at World Pork Expo. We're definitely in the midst of a period of change. I want to interject, though, is the U.S. swine industry has always been resilient, and I'm very confident it will come out of this. Profits will improve, in part because I think pork demand will improve. It will be pull factor. We'll get some improvement on cost of production, I hope, in the months ahead. Both of those will help those margins. But sitting here talking to you early June, it doesn't matter if we're talking selling wieners, feeders, or market hogs, the profit situation is definitely a challenge. And we have tough months ahead, but I'm a big believer in the resiliency of the industry. It'll come out of this, but not everybody's going to come out like they were before, for sure.
Yeah. It'll come out of it because the product that is in the meat case is going to continue to attract that demand.
Well, the domestic and foreign consumer wants U.S. pork.
Yeah.
And that is a sustaining signal. And notice I didn't say per capita consumption. I said demand.
Right.
So
right.
It's not just the volume move, and the value placed on it is fairly robust long term.
Right.
We've come off our peak, but we need some historical context on that. Is demand itself is okay. It hasn't fell through the floor.
Yeah, Glenn, we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming over here. We really appreciate it. And the work that you do with that meat demand monitor. Thank you so much. Glenn Tonser, K-State.